How's everybody doing? Who's on so far?
Mark.
Mike.
Brian.
Who, Brian?
Yeah, Brian.
What's up, guys?
Josh.
Who else is with us? Hey, Josh.
Aaron Rose.
Aaron
Tom
Rose,
here.
What's going on? Hey, Tom.
Hey, it's Adam here.
Hey, Adam.
Hi, this is Mike Riley.
Mike Riley, welcome. How are those weekly updates coming? Is everybody on here get them in on Friday? Pretty quick process, isn't it? Anybody having challenges with it?
I'm having
What's that?
Mike, I'm having trouble simply because I'm behind.
Since you're behind, who's this talking?
Mike Riley.
Okay, hey, Mike.
I've had a couple challenges that have otherwise distracted me, despite 48 hours awake trying to get it all done. Battles.
Okay.
I'm sleeping again.
Get back on the track as soon as you can. Life happens. We know that going in. That's why we talk about it on orientation call. Things happen. Things try and get in the way and keep pushing through. So, yeah, I haven't been able to sort through all of the updates from Friday just yet, but. Looks like a lot of activity happened. So pretty easy process, though, right, to just put that on your calendar for Friday? Everybody good with it?
Yes.
Yep.
It looks like it should.
Okay.
I know twice in a row I've clicked submit, and I had something go wrong. On that very first update last week, it glitched out, and I didn't even notice. So that's why it didn't get submitted till later on. I was like, oh, I thought I did that, but left a field blank or something. Anyway, so.
Hey, if anything ever happens like that, guys, yeah, take a quick screenshot, send it into the coaching center for me, because it's technology, things happen. So this is Josh, right?
That was Aaron Rose.
Oh, Aaron. Okay, some of you guys sound familiar on the phone. So, yeah, Aaron, if it ever does that and you think it was a tech thing, let me know about it. I mean, the fact that the majority of them are coming through lets me know that it should be working, but. You know, at the end of the day, technology is, it's not perfect. So that's just
the fact that the second week in a row, I clicked the button and kind of clicked away from the screen and went back and it said, you must fill in this field. I was like, oh, probably me.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Yeah, so it was requiring a field to be filled out.
Right. I had left,
okay.
Left something blank accidentally.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so I promise I've used a computer before.
Just picked one up last week, huh?
Well, I did. One thing, Jing has not been working on my Mac. Have you had anyone have that where you click stop on the video and then the whole program just shuts down? It just like disappears?
I don't have a Mac, but I know Josh uses, or Rob uses Jing all the time, and he's on a Mac without issues, so.
Huh. Right, yep. Maybe firmware update, or who knows.
Yeah, it could be. Hard to say. Is that John Gillen?
Well.
Did you just say hello?
Yes, sir.
What's up, Captain?
Not much.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so this, updates is, let's just talk about if you're on 3, 4, and 5 and deals being put together or something on the table, then we'll get to 1 and 2. But, it's sort of one of the other benefits, too, is it kind of frees up office hours a little bit. We don't have to talk about how many leads have come in, just make sure and get those weekly updates filled out. So, and here's the thing too, these are your KPIs, key performance indicators. You want to know how your business is doing on a weekly basis, right? You don't really need to track it daily. Things happen, but, monthly is probably, waiting a little bit too long. So as you move forward, obviously while you're in the success teams, it's going to be every Friday, fill these out. But this is, like I said, to build the habit. What's going on in the business? How many sellers did I talk to? How many offers did I make? And that's really the KPI above all KPIs, right? If you're going to pick one that's got to be dialed, flat out, no close second, number of offers being made, right? Now, a lot of things we do lead up to that. But at the end of the day, how many properties did we make an offer on this week, right, every Friday? So that you've got to know that. How many did we make up this month? That really is the key number. So, this is, you're going to track this stuff moving forward. So get the habit created now because these are the key numbers. How many leads generated? That's the lifeblood. And you're going to be, obviously, you'll be generating vacants. You know, you'll be generating leads from other sources as well. But how many leads did we generate this week? How many sellers did we talk to? How many offers did we make? And then you want to know, you know, what's under contract, how many closings, that kind of thing. You know, what's your total buyers list currently in each market? How many buyers did you add this week? You know, even though Rob right now primarily buys for himself, they're still finding buyers on a weekly basis. Always, always, always. He never goes away from it. So, and here's what's interesting. And here's a side reason. Even if you never intended to wholesale a deal, you were just buying for yourself, why would you still build a buyer's list? Buyers have what?
Cash.
Cash. What can you turn people with cash into? I mean, don't just
private
think linear
letters.
Here. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Say it again.
Because by your buyer's list is where you're going to find some private lenders. Here's how it works. Rob wants to drum up a quick private lender. Send a blast email. Let's say you have 130 cash buyers. Hey, just dropping a line to you real quick. You know, do you only buy for yourself, or do you also participate, you know, as a third party private lender in real estate? Raise your hand, and it'll get people to step forward because a lot of your buyers do both and. And it's such a simple question once they're on a buyer's list. So even that's what I'm saying. We're always building the buyer's list. We're generating leads. We're talking to sellers. We're making offers, finding
people,
buyers.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Hey, if you're going to yell at somebody, mute out. What?
Whoa.
Anyway. Yeah, if there's some background noise going on, or if you need to scream at somebody in traffic, hit *6 first and then knock yourself up.
Wow.
Okay, so who's on the – yeah.
I guess just to confirm on the weekly report, we want weekly numbers on number of sellers called, talked to, offers made, and properties under contract. All those are weekly numbers.
Yeah, and it typically we try to be really clear about it in the question. So total number of vacant leads generated is just an ongoing big number. But then it says number of vacant leads generated this week. So where it was applicable, we tried to put both and total number and leads this week. So yeah, just answer the question. If it doesn't say weekly, assume total. If it says generated this week, assume in the last since your last Friday update, Friday to Friday. Yep.
Okay.
So Johnson, since you're asking a question here, where you at? Tell us where you we don't need numbers here, but what do you have working? We know you sold 4 deals here in the last couple weeks.
Yeah. I got the one I'm waiting on for the
May 10th, right?
Well, by the 11th, the meeting, and 17th supposed to close. And that's the other vacant. He had another vacant property that I made an offer on, waiting on him to say yes or no.
Same seller, right?
Same seller, correct.
Yeah, which is just it's such a common theme that you
know,
talk
and
to
I've,
one,
and
you
I've
know,
got
you
it
talk
sold
to sellers and they have more than one.
I've got already got an offer for 58 on it, but
So you just need to tie it up less than that, obviously.
Yeah, I've offered 50, so we're going to see. He says we're pretty close, but he's supposed to let me know, and I should have known today. But
okay.
Well, he's kind of, you know, I'm not putting too much pressure on him because he's been a pretty, you know, I didn't really give him a deadline, but he usually calls within a day or two, so. And this was Friday afternoon. And I've got a couple of other offers out that I haven't heard anything back yet. One guy was supposed to call me back Friday. I never heard anything. And another one, pretty much the same thing. He's got tenants in this one property that this other guy has. It's not a vacant, but he lives in Massachusetts, so. I'm trying to get in to see the property, but he can't get a hold of the tenants, so.
That's not a good sign.
Well, he wants 45, and, you know, I started at 35, so been offered him 37.5, so he wasn't thrilled yet, but I'm still working with him. So
okay.
And go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, what else are you drumming up? So that's what you're going through, which is good, while you're waiting on this other one or two.
Do you remember the house with the church?
Yeah.
Before?
Yeah.
And I had called that guy back and told him no dice because I'd tried to get about 6 or 8 buyers. Nobody was interested. And
yep.
Actually, it's probably 10 or 12. So he calls me back the other night, and I'll make it quick. Kind of frantic, he said, my brother with the church decided he doesn't want anything to do with the house, and since then some kids have broken in and stripped out the wiring and messed up a bunch of sheetrock and blah, blah, blah. And
yep.
He said, just tell me what you'll give me for it.
The problem's growing. What do you think you can, or what do you think is the right number for you to buy it at and then sell it at?
$500.
Really? And sell it
for
what?
I met a buyer over there today.
Okay.
And the biggest offer I'm going to get is about $2,500 or $3,000 because of where
no
it is.
Kidding.
Yeah, so.
But.
It's just a lot of work. So.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the church. It's the guy that actually owns it. The church is out of it now. So,
gotcha.
This guy just wants to get rid of it. He's going to, if I don't buy it from him, he's going to donate it to Habitat for Humanity. So.
And just give it to him.
Yeah, so I'm going to offer him $500 and try to make $2,000. So
cool.
That's the deal there, and I haven't done that yet. And on top of that, I should have 30 to 40 leads get traced back to me tomorrow. So
beautiful.
I finally got a VA hired. So
beautiful.
So I'm on the right track, brother. And,
I love it.
And this VA makes calls and everything for another wholesaler in Kansas City, but I'm going to play that by ear, you know. I got to see how it goes.
Yep, and you're effective on the phone, so.
Yeah, so that's what I told this VA. I said, I'm going to do it right now until I get to know you.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but nice to have that in your back pocket, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely. They've been working with this one investor for like 5 or 6 years, so. So they know the drill, so we'll see what happens.
So more leads coming back tomorrow, and then you've got a couple of follow-ups from last couple of days here too, right, where you're waiting to hear
right.
back?
Yes,
one
exactly.
on Friday, and then the second property for the May 11th guy.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. And then, you know, with my other marketing, with my other buddy, we got another lead today that he's going to look at tomorrow, but that's not vacant. But I mean, it's vacant, but... It's not from it's from his marketing. It's not mine.
Hey, so let me ask you this. When do you anticipate opening up a second market and being simultaneously in two places?
When I get this organized now that I have
So let's put a number to it.
I think things are going in the right direction.
I agree with you.
I need.
And imagine this level of activity in two different places.
Yeah, I've got to make sure I feel organized right now. I'm still, you know, with the, you know, VA situation. I need to get that under control. So I would say 60
near
days.
Near future is what I'm pushing for.
60 to 90 days? Is that
near future. 30 to 60 is the right answer.
Oh, okay. That's near future? Okay. 90 is far future?
Yeah, John, you're getting to that point. So, and that, you know, it's going to take some of the pressure. It's going to split it in two. You say you want to do 4 deals a month or whatever anybody's number is. If you're in one market, 100% of the pressure's on that market, and that's the whole point of this. You get in two, you just split it in half. Now you're 50-50. Now we only need 2 in each, right? And this is the advantage, obviously, of going wide. So not everybody, right? Some of you just getting started with this, we're not there yet. But John's at a place, the only reason I bring it up is because I feel like it's time he starts considering other places to be in two different markets. So,
I want to feel. I'm not quite ready. So, I mean, I know I'm not ready.
If your thought is you're going to wait till you're 100% comfortable, it's never going to happen. So,
no, not comfortable.
Comfortable and then open it.
Yeah, getting my timing down and my scheduling down and getting a little bit more organized. So,
okay, we'll put that. That's an exciting goal to work for. Okay, because now you can ramp up. I mean, overnight, find another good market. You can double what you're doing now. And then you start working the best leads in either market. And then, you know, same skip tracer goes across. If you have a person on the phone, same person there. It's not like your team has to grow. So, all right. Who else?
Can I ask John? Can I ask John a question real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, John, are you're working in where you live, right? You're
marketing. Yeah, I'm working in my hometown, and that probably has something to do with holding me back to a certain degree, because if that makes any sense.
You're nervous about investing somewhere where you can't be right there to go look at the properties yourself.
No, what I'm saying is I know what I've got here, and then I'm doing a lot of deals with this other guy, and he's pretty active with marketing, so it's taking a lot of my time too. So, I would say, you know, if I had a virtual market, then I would probably be a lot more efficient with it outside of being in my hometown, because I want to get up and go look at everything. So,
I'm telling you what,
that's inbred in me. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It forces better activity when you're remote. Now, John happens to live in a decent market, actually a good market to flip houses in. Not everybody does. I mean, we're stationed out of Denver, which is brutally competitive. I just saw stats today. It's ridiculous. The average sale price last year in Denver was $375. It's up to $450. 2016.
Wow.
March 2016 to March 2017. $350 to $425, something ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw some article that said the weed business has a lot to do with it.
I think it's been huge. It has. I mean, yeah, we can laugh. I think it has. Honestly, people are coming up, but it's not just that, because I was, you run around town and, Denver is, you know, this sort of younger generation, the tech companies between both Denver and Boulder. Boulder's turned into this big tech hub. Just kids out of college running around, younger adult professionals buying everywhere. You know, business is booming. They're building everywhere. So it's not just that, but that's definitely played into it. But, yeah, John, you know, I bring this up to everybody. One of the disadvantages is, a lot of times John will jump in the car and go look at it, didn't necessarily need to, and that's a big time killer. But it's it's our default. I better go take a look, right? And so, you know, a couple of things. Like I said, he happens to live in a market that works. Numbers are good. But, you know, that's why I bring it up now, is it's time to get you out, because one of those things is it'll force let your remote market train your time on your home market. So,
right. Yeah, that makes some sense.
I don't know if Darren's on, but Darren lives in a good market too, and I encouraged him to go elsewhere. Yeah. So I encourage Darren to go elsewhere.
For that too.
She'll thank you in the long run, because once you get past the, like I said, let the remote market train your habits and behaviors in the event that you end up working your home market, because some of you will. Some of you, you know, you run the numbers on where you live, and it's okay. You know, actually, the numbers might be good. But the hurdle is obviously, the biggest hurdle is getting outside of where you live. And so, you know, that's what I was telling Darren is, hey, let's go play ball elsewhere, because once you figure that out, you know, obviously it's easier where you live. So let's just get that, knock that barrier over. So, John, good update. Who else?
Mike.
Yeah, 3, 4, and 5
hey, Mike.
Questions. Yeah.
Rob Krumpauer, Albuquerque.
Hey, Rob. And then somebody else said, hey, Mike, too. Who was that? You're on deck.
That was Darren.
Darren, you're on deck.
Okay.
Rob, go ahead.
Okay. I don't really know if I want to go after your conversation about going wide, because you probably know I'm going real deep in my territory.
Yep.
Because I do a lot of things, HUDs, bank foreclosures, MLS, probate, auction sites, everything. So I won't talk about the stuff that I've been doing outside of that, because it's quite busy. But I'm on step 3 as far as the wholesaling, and
yep.
I'll probably do the wholesaling, especially in my own market for my own deals.
Okay.
But it's kind of interesting. I've got 3 bird dogs that were going to start last week, and they haven't done anything. And I got 3 bird dogs that are going to start this week, and we'll wait and see. So you know, I'm going along as fast as I can, considering what the other stuff I have going. And I know everybody else have jobs and other things too, so it's not an excuse. I just have to make sure I keep everything going at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge everybody brings to success teams here is how do we add, you know, one more thing in the juggle without dropping the ones that can't be dropped. And so, absolutely. And so, Rob, you know,
cool
you've got
deal.
It. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have one cool deal that I actually got off a HUD site that I'm going to seller finance.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to change some of my strategy from flipping to the MLS and just flipping to seller finance. So that comment about Rob still buying his or working his buyer's list is a very pertinent comment because even if I want to buy my own down here, I could still use private lenders to buy notes or just, you know, use a private money too, for that matter.
But yeah, I remember. I remember at the live event, your big light bulb was you have to become wholesaler, which is something you've been just about everything else except that.
Well, I just need yet another way to find deals. You know, it's getting tougher all over the place. I'm not going to stop my other streams, but I need more.
You'll get to the place, Rob, where you're going to say, hey, for my business to go from X amount of deals a month to the next goal, you're going to have to open up one or two other markets.
Sure.
So that's why we're going through it. So, yep.
Yeah, and I'm working with Mike Page on Atlanta, so we're working on it.
Yep.
But I got a seller finance deal really quick. I mean, it might change a lot of my business. Picked it up for $62.
Uh-huh.
Probably put 15 in it just to clean it up and not repair it.
Yep.
Got it listed for 110.
Yep.
And I got an offer on it, so I might, without hardly doing any work to a house, make $45,000 on a stinking $100,000 house.
Love it.
Over 18 months.
Those numbers don't stink.
Yeah, so it's kind of amazing. Some of these smaller houses, you really can make a lot of money out of them if you do it right.
Absolutely. And
you
know, that's
I got a commission up front from buying it, and then if I owner finance it with my own cash, I'll get $900 a month for 18 months the way this one lays out. And then when they refinance it, I'll get $45,000 payday.
Right.
That sure beats going to MLS and giving all my profit away to the realtors and mortgage brokers and everything else. So it's just my thought for the day.
Yep, I love it. You know, obviously, if you're a little bit newer on the phone or whatever, experienced investor here with Rob, been doing this for a long time, has a lot of irons in the fire. And, you know, that's what's cool about success teams here. We have people who haven't done a deal yet, and then, you know, we've got investors in here like Rob, and so that's what makes this, you know, a really cool environment. And at the end of the day, we don't switch up the process. I mean, Rob, you're learning stuff from the exact same process as somebody who hasn't flipped a deal yet. On how to go, you know, when you're ready to expand into a market, how am I going to find it? What am I going to do? How am I going to get in the middle of a deal? Where am I going to generate leads? All these different pieces, and they start to come into play. So, yeah, good update.
Yeah, thank you.
Good update. Yep. Who else? Actually, Darren was next. I almost forgot.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I'm here. I've got a pretty good update. I've got close to 200 leads now. And we've got about a good 125 skip traced. So
nice.
I'm planning on getting on the phones this week here and going to try to.
What day?
Get some deal. What's that?
What day are you getting on the phone? Not this week. Tomorrow?
It was supposed to be today, and I didn't get the chance to do that. But I'm going to do it tomorrow. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
So we'll be on the phone tomorrow. The questions that I should. Should I ask questions now or should I wait till the end?
Yeah, fire.
Okay. So as far as process goes, I feel like it's not an issue right now because the volume is small, but I've got two separate bird dogs who will send me a bunch of leads and then call me and say, hey, can you pay me?
Uh-huh.
So then I've got to go in and look and see what they sent, and then I check to see if they sent me duplicates, and then I you know, then I got to pay them, and then I have to remember to send those leads to my skip tracer, and then, you know, so it's a lot of it's a lot of manual manipulating and making sure that I don't pay them twice and making sure that I document it and making sure I count the doubles and make sure, you know.
Yep.
I feel like I'm ready to make sure that I just want this process to be a lot more smoother and somehow more automated and clean.
Yeah, so the first thing you said is that you're sending your leads to the VA, where the better way is just the, you know, the Bird Dogs use HomeSnap. They come into FreedomSoft. Your VA should have access to your FreedomSoft account. And
right.
It's really a quick little and you don't even have to send them a message, because you can have them set up a notification when a new lead shows up to send them an email that they need to come in and skip trace it. And so you don't even have to get involved in that process, because they can set up a notification that says new lead arrived. And if 60 new leads come in, they're going to get a bunch of notifications that say,
right.
Hey, get in this account and start skip tracing these things. So we uploaded that video at the end of last week. And a lot, so, and I shouldn't say a lot. A couple of you had questions on, you know, you were seeing Rob's screen, asking some things around that. He's got his, you know, his set of custom fields, and you see how that all comes together. But yeah, that is the better way, is to have, give access to your VA, to your FreedomSoft account, make
yeah.
sure that notification is turned on. And then Darren, those new leads come in. You can even have your VA. I mean, here's the thing. If you had a Bird Dog that came in and there were a handful of dupes and you paid them, and they never worked for you again, you know,
yeah.
so be it. You ate a little bit of money, but you could have your VA as they go through and say, hey, one of the things I want you to keep an eye out for are duplicates. So if you
yeah.
know, you know, as you're skip tracing these, if you notice a duplicate, let me know about it. You know, pay your Bird Dog for whatever they brought in, and the VA comes back to you and says, hey, I found three. Next batch that comes in, hey, three duplicates from the last one, so here's the new one minus three duplicates, here's your pay. And just do it that way. That way you're eliminating
yeah.
a lot of that headache. Let the VA do it. They're going to go through the leads one by one anyway.
Right. So I didn't see any of that in steps one, two, or three, and I think the way that it was teaching was for us to download the leads and then send it to the VA in a spreadsheet and then have them fill out the spreadsheet. And so
yeah,
I don't know, maybe I missed something.
Process, yeah, that process hasn't ever been taught. Some people have done it. Here's where we've talked about it. If you're going to send the same up front when you're hiring a VA and you say, hey, I don't know who's any good, if you grab
wow.
the same 30 leads and you want to send the same 30 leads to three different VAs, don't put them in FreedomSoft. You're going to have to throw
them
into a spreadsheet, send them to them. It's going to come back, evaluate it. But then once you have that VA that is capable, invite them into your FreedomSoft account, give them leads access, and then set up that workflow automation. And that video is in at the bottom of step three, how Rob sets it up. So too confusing for me to explain here by phone. Just go watch the video, and I know a lot of you did. I sent out it was uploaded Friday, and then I sent out an email to everybody that it's there. So
got it.
Yep. But, yeah, Darren, that's too much. That's too heavy on your time, and it's not highest and best use. I mean, you got to be on that phone talking
crazy.
To sellers right now. So
right.
That's the thing about systems. It's a little work up front, but then it's easier for the next however many years, right? So put a little time into it and just get it down once.
Yeah, I can imagine. If you have multiple 3-4 markets going at once and you got multiple Bird Dogs, multiple VAs, that could become a job just managing, paying them and getting the leads to them, all that stuff. So I'm thinking ahead on that. So,
yep.
The other big thing that I've been big challenge is that we're not investing in Cleveland. I haven't hired any Bird Dogs here. I took your advice and just went to another market. And my wife I take daily verbal blank about the fact that she's like, why are we not doing this in Cleveland? We live here. This is crazy. So I just said, look, I'm going to hire a Bird Dog in Cleveland this week just so that you
Perfect.
Can feel comfortable that we're doing it here.
But here, okay, so here's the thing. You've been around this for a while. She asked you the question. What's your answer?
I just said, I'm listening to my coach. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to. I'm following every step.
But there's a reason for this. What if you just do Cleveland and the Cleveland and market shifts and in 6 months it sucks? Now
right.
what? You going to go under? Are we going to learn how to invest nationwide so that no matter what local market cycles do, we can always go play ball where a business model makes sense?
I get it. And that's exactly what I say. But with our cash flow situation, she's like, look, it doesn't make sense for us to be investing in Pittsburgh or wherever right now or some other
city. At the core of it, it's a little money stress.
It's the money stress, yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
I get
that. She's like, look, you better start looking at Cleveland. You're wasting your time in these other markets. And so I'm getting pulled in two different directions. I'm just going to do it just to make her feel comfortable that, you know, we're doing everything
Anybody on this phone that's married or has a significant other gets that I'm just going to do it so that.
I'm just going to do it just because. And so I'm going to do my homework and do what I'm supposed to do in this other market. But
yep.
So anyways, I don't know if anyone else is getting any heat like that, but about anything.
Oh, I constantly get the pessimism of like, well, yeah, that's not going to work. Who's renting in that market if there's so many foreclosures? And it's just like, I get tired of arguing. I was like, yeah, you're probably right. But
you're probably jump on office hours and listen. Here's where it's working.
Yeah, so
we just keep
plugging forward, just crossing our fingers that this is going to work. And I can't wait to get on the phone.
Well, here's the thing. There's no need to cross fingers. It's not like Rob read about this strategy. Prior to you all coming on board and said, hey, let's try this.
So at this point, it's faith.
If you build it, they will come.
We haven't done it yet, so it's faith that we're going to be able to do it, I guess. And,
it's a bit of the fear of the unknown, right? I get it. But this is not a newer process. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing, right? Love your spouses to pieces. But their level of knowledge based on investing nationwide compared to Rob's, it's just not the same. It's just not the same
thing. Right.
So, Darren, you were at the live event. So it's not, right, this is a part of my talk. It's not the thought, it's the source of the thought. So somebody chimed in and said their spouse is telling them that's not going to work. Well, let's check the source. Not to say any of our spouses aren't credible, but when it comes to this, this has nothing to do with intelligence. Rob says, I've been doing this for almost two decades. I know it works. I still do it multiple times a year. And then a spouse says, that's not going to work. And so what matters here is less
right.
about what the thought is, and it's more about where did that thought come from? Which source is credible? Right?
Yeah. So I guess the harder question is, how do you pacify that significant other than
that's
knowing
the question.
That's the
question.
With the coach's recommendation.
If I had an answer for that.
I just say, I've
start your own coaching program.
Well, when I get excited about something, instead of like opening my mouth and saying, hey, we did this today, because I know I'm going to get potentially a lot of, what are we doing? What are you doing there? What's going on? Like, it's not supportive. So I've kind of quieted down my enthusiasm and just keep moving forward with the
just
steps.
Just plugging away. We all get it. Handle it
keep
however
your head
you
down.
To.
Don't draw attention to yourself.
Hey, Darren, quick question, Darren. This is Andrew.
Sure.
What is your investing strategy in Cleveland if you were to start doing things there? Are you buy and hold, or what do you normally do?
Oh, no, I'm a buy, fix, and sell. Hands down. I've done about 50 projects here in the last 3 years. We've got about 15 under construction.
Darren's a serious flipper.
Tight.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Super tight. And we've got about 4 or 5 projects on the market right now that have been taking longer than they normally do to sell. Normally, we're under contract within a week. Some of these properties have been on the market for 3 months. So we're, you know, the worst 3 months, but still, it's.
And here's
the deals on the contract quick here.
Tell me if this isn't true, Darren, but if these four projects weren't sitting as long as they were and it had sold and the cash was there and you told, you know, your better half what was going on, it would probably be in one ear and out the other and, hey, what do you want for dinner, right? Where should we go?
Oh,
to
absolutely.
Eat?
The only
so it's a
deal.
We all know what you're talking about, so.
I'm going through it.
Yep. Hey, that's it's a season of life, guys, but we know, I mean, the process is It's worked over and over and over. I told you, Rob launched a new market on the 11th. They started driving leads. They drove 192 vacants. They skip traced them all. Chris came into the office. He's the new sales guy. And they have three deals under contract. Now, this is a, you know, this is a team that's been there, done that before. Chris is a newer sales guy, but he's familiar with it. So they just, you know, tweaked his script and Rob's process and that kind of thing. But this is what, you know, this is the same process. That's just a guy that's done it. I mean, Rob, a couple years ago, was wholesaling in 18 cities with four people.
Wow.
So it can go to whatever level. So the frustration, the challenge, the setup, right? I've told everybody on here over and over, the slowest market you'll ever set up is the one you're currently working on. This is as slow as the process will ever go, but we go through it, learn it, get dialed on it, because then we go slow now to go fast later, right? So when you get that first one underway, so Brian, I don't know if Brian's on. I think he chimed in, but he found a couple serious buyers, in another market, and he said, I'll start driving leads there, and you know, up in 5 days, he's got bird dogs on the ground, leads coming in off to the skip tracer on the phone. So that's how that works. So yeah, Darren, good update, man. Yeah.
Real quick, what videos were you talking about on the website?
Yep, step three, and then here's what we'll do, Darren. After your update, there, we'll do step six, and we'll just talk about marriage counseling in step six. we'll just add a.
I got a business, a child, a wife.
We'll just add a step.
They're all telling me what to do.
That's right.
No.
How to handle this at home? Step six. Just some input. Yeah, John, step three, everybody. Rob's bird dog set up in Freedom Soft. Bottom of the page,
okay,
step three.
Okay.
And here's the other thing too, you guys. Darren, you opened this question up about systems. If we're not dialed on one market, we're gonna be a train wreck at three, right? Clearly. So that's the other thing too. We're getting systems in place, you're seeing how it all comes together, we're getting a few, you know, a VA in place, few key personnel, that kind of thing. And then when you're ready for city number two, number three, those pieces come together because you've already got, you know, a VA. They can skip trace a lead anywhere. You've got some systems in place, and it makes it a heck of a lot easier to plug in. So who else has questions? Steps three, four, and five.
This is Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, since we brought up Rob's video, you know, this same thing I emailed you about today.
Yep.
I've gone through this, and I cannot find – are you clear on which one I'm talking about? It's like when you go into your campaign, your lead, and you pull up View All.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's that header across there that I cannot get to look like Rob.
Oh, gotcha. So first of all, you have to add the custom fields. So, Mark, I'm trying to think if – yeah, just let me answer it real quick. So over on the right side – you'll see the column headers. There's a little gray wheel. Looks like a cog wheel.
Right, right.
You click on that, and that header bar becomes editable. So anything that's in it, you click and drag down into the big list, and it'll come out of the header. Anything
okay,
you want in there, you grab from the big list, click and drag into the header, and then tell it where to go, left to right.
Right, but like I say, I don't have those. I don't have contact name.
Right, you have to create them in custom fields first.
And where do I put them, though? Create them in custom fields where?
Doesn't matter where you put them. They'll get picked up when you're editing your header. Doesn't matter what section.
You go to settings, right? You go to settings and then down.
Right.
Yep, that's where you do all that. And you select which form, which, like your lead form versus.
If we have to, we'll do a quick screen share.
Okay.
On it.
That's fine. Yeah, because I, you know, it's like, here's what I got going, Mike.
Yep.
I am sitting at home the next 2 weeks,
yep,
making phone calls. Okay.
You just cleared your normal work schedule?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And, you know, it's like, yeah, because, you know, yeah, I'm working off those spreadsheets. And, you know, it's like, that's another time-consuming thing. And I'm just trying to get it for my VA just to where it's just all right there. You know, because
yep,
she has access to FreedomSoft. So, but if I can get that header thing going, then it's like, then when I'm making phone calls, it's going to be so much simpler.
It will be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. If I need to, if I need to help you get set up, let me know.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's all I got.
Okay.
Hey,
next
Mike,
2 weeks, we're looking forward to good updates. Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for that input you gave me earlier today about that one burnt up house, by the way.
Yeah, let's talk about that thing real quick.
Yeah.
So, guys, Paul sent in some images of a burnt up house. I only got 8 pics, but was that whole thing burnt on the interior?
Well, you got all the pics that I got. I guess it was pretty well burnt on the inside, but I didn't see any damage to the frame that you saw. Maybe I didn't look.
Well, the rafters. So there in that one, there's no drywall, and you can see the ceiling joist. Or I'm assuming there's no second story there, right? It's a ranch.
Ranch, yeah.
The pictures were really dark. So I was telling Paul, everybody, my experience on burnt houses, if the lumber is even discolored a little bit, the city out here told me to replace it. I bought and flipped a deal that they had a kitchen fire. And so we opened that sucker up, and if it had the tiniest little bit of char, I mean, clearly a structurally sound 2x4 or 2x6, whatever it was, Spector said, not a chance, that sucker's coming out. So Paul sent over this picture of a house for, you know, main floor fire. The ceiling rafters, whatever you want to call them, the joists, the rafters, right, whatever's above you holding the sheetrock on the ceiling that used to be there, it all burnt off now, but they were discolored. They looked fine physically, same shape they should be. They were 2x8s, I believe, but they were discolored. So that's what I was saying is it doesn't matter if the shape looks right and if there aren't singe marks. If it's discolored, they wanted it replaced. So it just adds to the work. That's all.
Let me go down where I'm going to go with that comment. So this is in the ghetto. And because I'm following what I'm told and I'm going to the areas that you're not supposed to go to or that realtors refer you away from, I'm getting a lot of action, it seems to me. I sent out two offers today, and I have two more. I'm just waiting for an email back from to send out those contracts. But I'm getting a lot of action. And they're all like, literally right in like the same street, the next street
yep.
over, like they are to each other. It's this little pocket of houses. And I'm wondering two things. You know, I'm doing what I think I'm being told, starting in the nasty areas, and I've got a lot of action. And I think I'll probably have, at the end of this week, 4 or 5 contracts at least. I've got 200 people that want to sell me their house,
God.
And they're just having some trouble with it a little bit. But I really think I'll have these under contract, and I'm wondering, like, do I keep spending my time here, or do I graduate? I know maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. If I graduate out of the neighborhood next week and try to get something a little bit nicer.
Then I wasn't being stupid.
No, not if there's activity. Hey, somebody's having a side conversation. Hit *6 for us and mute yourself out, and you can listen in. Yeah, Paul, if there's activity there and you can find deals and you have buyers for them, We're not graduating out of that. I don't know why we would.
Yeah, that's the next question I have is, I did get in touch with one, quote unquote, realtor, wholesale friendly realtor,
yep.
And they said they're more than happy to sell my properties or put my in contact with flippers in the area. I told them what I had. They say, oh yeah, we don't go there.
So here's what you need to know. Are there sales in those neighborhoods?
There are. They seem to be there when I look on the Zillow, you know, yellow code.
Okay. That's because the buyers in those areas, they're not going to an agent to say, hey, help me buy here. They're just finding deals there and buying them.
Yeah, well, and just to be clear, I mean, this guy, this agent, I mean, he sells them to flippers. Or he sells the houses that the flippers flip. After they've been flipped, so he's like on that back.
Yeah, and you're probably not in a fix and flip neighborhood. Would be my guess.
I'm in the rental neighborhood. Yes.
You are. Yep.
So
hey, if there are deals, here's the thing, you guys. If there are deals, you can get in the middle of anywhere that there are deals happening. This particular strategy, there may be fewer vacants in a nicer area, not necessarily. But what we're doing is here, we're playing the numbers, the percentages, right? The goal here in the success teams is to get into a market and get in the middle of deals, get a deal closed. And so we're playing the percentages. Where are you know, where are you going to find vacants? In the lower price neighborhoods. Where are you going to find more buyers? Typically in the lower price neighborhoods, because, you know, more people can afford. There are a lot of landlords that can afford a $20,000, $30,000 house as opposed to a fix and flip investor, you know, that's looking to buy a more expensive one. So we're just playing the numbers. If you're going to expand in this market into some other areas and sell fix and flip deals, great. But we're going to get it moving on the lower end.
But I guess it's cool if I, you know, I'm hearing some other people talk about making bigger numbers, and I realize I'm green. I get that. But if I keep making three or four deals of $3,000 or $4,000 a week, that doesn't seem so bad. Seems pretty good. But I'm just wondering, like, is that what I'm supposed to be?
Yep.
You know?
Focus where you're at. Focus where you're at. Because here's the thing, right? I mean, Rob brought up that deal where, you know, he's talking about $45,000 and, yeah, totally different type deal. And that's an owner finance type thing, different house, different neighborhood, different city, first of all, different kind of deal. But here's the thing, you guys, you win, right? You win the World Series on base hits, not grand slams. Do grand slams happen? Absolutely. Build your strategy around base hits, get consistent deals. They're easier to turn. There are a bunch of buyers. They're less expensive, you know, financially, that kind of thing. The other stuff is coming. Because it just does, but we build right. You win championships on base hits, on the little fundamentals. So Paul, yeah, stay the course.
Right.
Long answer to your question. Yep.
Thank you very much.
You got it. So
well,
yeah, you're expecting
buyers.
Four. Right. That's the thing. If nobody's buying in the area, don't generate vacants there. But that's why we do some of the upfront research, and you chart, you grab, you know, either the current listeds. Or you grab, you know, the cash sold from the last 12 months, map them on batch geo. Now we know where the activity is, right? And in some of your cities, it's everywhere. In other cities, it's in a couple pockets. I think, Paul, I don't remember where you're at, but it's in like three or four pockets that it's going down. I think you told me that. I'm just going off memory here. Could be wrong, but that's why we map it out. Now you know where the activity is.
More of all your action. They're literally, if I can say this, 16, 15, 16, 34, 16, 35, 16, 44, Union Street, like all of them. I'm getting
right.
I'm getting the whole block.
Nice.
Which is, I find very interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. Keep us posted. So here's the thing. You're very quickly going to transfer into, you're going to have to start, you know, building in, you're talking to sellers, deals under contract. You're going to have to transfer into some step five. You know, you can get very targeted in where you generate buyers in these areas. So if you have some downtime, start getting through step five and get geared up in anticipation of some contracts coming back.
Right out. Yep.
So, yep. Good stuff. So you were thinking, four deals by this week or in the next 10 days or so?
I honestly think I'll have four contracts at least this week. I've got two. One's already agreed upon. He just didn't get back to me yet. The other one, she said she'd take that burnt house. She'll take $3,000. I offered her $1,500. I'm waiting to hear back.
What is the burnt house worth fixed up?
I think, well, again, they're all like right next to each other. And
or what does it rent for?
Around them. For $600 bucks.
Okay. And what do you think, how big is that place? Square feet.
1,000 square feet, three bed, one bath.
1,000 square feet. So even if you had to redo the whole thing, what are you thinking? Fix up.
25 to 30.
Yeah, you're going to be closer to that 30. You're going to have roof. You're going to have most interior, but I mean a lot of the flooring is going to have to come out. You may have to do foot. Is it sitting on a crawl space or what's it built on? Do you know?
Crawl spaces, and you know I would envision these going to some guy in the neighborhood who just takes his time fixing these things up.
Could be.
That's what I foresee. That particular
could
house.
Could be. Anyway. Yep.
And even
could
if
be.
I get it for $1,500 and give it to somebody for $3,000, I mean, I'm happy with that, I think.
Yeah. Hey, not every wholesale deal is $5,000, $10,000, $15,000.
It's like my one.
Yeah, John, what was that one you closed for a week ago or 10 days ago?
Oh, I had one for, it was a joint venture, but it was $750 was my part.
$750.
I went over to the house twice. I took pictures, and then I met the contractor over there, and it was 15 miles from my house. But
$7.50
That's the lowest one I've ever done. My first deal was $12.50 ever. So, Then I did another one. I got $1,500 on. So I mean, you know.
But then the other two were better, and the average was money's money.
Money's money. Absolutely. And, you know, $7.50 is a house note, man. So.
Let me tip in one more thing because this comes with a question. So I called another lady just today. She was very excited to get my phone call. She actually returned my message because she was told she's not allowed to sell this house because she inherited it from someone who inherited it, and that some lawyer told her she can rent it, but she can't sell it. And then she gave me the number of another lawyer who told her she could sell it. She just hadn't got around to it yet. And I called his office, and I have a message into him because she's got – that lawyer has her will, or the will that, you know, deals with this house. But I'm almost certain she'll sell me the house this week because she's tickled pink that I contacted her, and it's in that same neighborhood.
Did you look up the address in public records? Is she owner of record?
She was not the owner of record from what I, you know, from my skip trace gave me, but she was related to that person. I didn't. That was kind of towards the end of the day, so I didn't get too far with that. I thought the lawyer might fill me in, but he never called me back. I guess he was busy.
Yeah, all of them are.
But
interesting.
It's been very. I mean, I don't have a signed contract yet, but it's been very productive, you know, for a week's worth of work.
That's good.
Just from outside looking in, it's just my opinion. You have so many sellers eager and anxious to talk to you. I would just make sure that there are buyers buying there. That's just that's my opinion
for
what I've been
again?
Around.
Verify.
Make sure there are people buying, investors buying in the area. That's all.
That's my next question. Like, I've got all this action now. I got to, like Mike said, make sure there's something going on there. I got to figure out, you know, from now, I got to find someone to buy them. And I'm not there yet. So I'm waiting to be told what to do or to read. Five.
Yeah, a lot of it's in step five, but if you wanted a quick something on the phone here, go to those zip codes, go to gosection8.com, punch in the zip codes where you have these contracts you think they're going to come up. It'll pull up current landlords in the area, call them, and say, hey, I'm a local wholesaler. I've got a couple deals working in this zip code. Are you still buying there?
Oh, that is quick and easy. All right.
Tell them they're close to contract, and I want to know who to call first. So are you still an active buyer in the area? You've got a rental on, so I'm looking at it right now.
And I'm looking at it right now on Go Section 8. So I just click on one of the listings, and it'll give me the landlord?
Go to GoSection8.com. Yep, just click one of the listings, landlord, phone numbers on the right side of the page. Also, go to Craigslist, not the real estate for sale. Go to the rentals on Craigslist. Type in your zip code where the house is. Same thing.
I did that already, and there wasn't much there.
Okay, so check Go Section 8. Yep.
Yeah,
and then surrounding zip codes as well. So.
Yep. Yeah, I did something out of Craigslist. I didn't do it with Go Section 8. But. All right. I'm going to put it on mute and call this guy.
Good stuff, Paul. Yeah, that sounds good. Who else? Questions? Yep. Who else?
Mike, is Aaron
Mike
Rose
is
here.
Scary.
Aaron Rose. Fire.
Well, my update form from Friday had zeros all the way down because I'm just getting started. But as of now, I've got something like 120 vacant off of one bird dog. So that's good. Just got my VA finally locked in.
It's really good. So you had zero vacants on Friday when you did your check-in, and it's Monday, and you have 120.
Well, let me see how many I got. 114.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Nice job.
Yeah, she's kicking butt. By the way, she's like, you know, she and I have a really good conversation. She's been kind of thinking about real estate for a long time, but, you know, is this her first kind of venture into doing anything with it? I'm like, this lady could be a good, you know, hand, a face on the ground right there to handle whatever, you know. And
absolutely.
I think she actually went to the city today and pulled a, like a 42-page list of the delinquent taxes in the city as well. So she's mailing me that to my post office box.
How funny. Yeah, a little above and beyond.
Yeah, she's all about
cool.
it. So, I've got my first few skip traces done, but I've had the way the city assessor thing works here. I think I was telling you on the phone. We got to drill into the GIS map to get the owner's information and what have you, and the owner's location. Plus, they put the information kind of all over the place, which I see as a good thing because that prevents. It's not super easy to find. This information.
Right.
You kind
of I like that point of view, right, because nobody else
yeah,
is willing to do what
the,
you're doing.
The stuff that's harder to get to, it's not just super easy, low-hanging fruit, prevents it from being, you know, super easy for everyone else. So I'm feeling good about that. I'm starting to get some skip trace info in. I made you know, about 20 phone calls today trying to get – I left a few messages, I think, on correct phone numbers. So on my basically the first one I started on and sending some emails, you know, as well. So I'm wondering, you know, is there like an email? Oh, which brings up the other thing. In Rob's video about bird dog automation, he's showing how, you know, his VA clicks this thing that goes email to mail, and there's a template for the vacant house. Are those templates located in there somewhere?
No, but I've had a couple requests for those. So,
okay.
Excuse me. Our tech crew can put them in behind the scenes so you don't have to rebuild it.
And what is
so,
what is that, how does that work and what does that cost?
Yeah, so there's a couple templates Aaron's referring to. Some of you have seen Rob's click to mail video, email to mail. Where you can actually, and this is a great, I mean, this is a great little strategy. You talk to somebody on the phone and you offer them 40 grand and they say, no, I don't think I'm going to take it. And most investors just say, okay, and hang up the phone. Whereas a lot of times what Rob will do is send out an offer for 40 grand, put a piece of paper in front of a signed piece of paper in front of them with the number on it and see what happens just for kicks. And so what you can do is, you know, very easily, there's a cover letter that you can put into FreedomSoft, and then there's a way that you set up an email template that's really easy to do, but you basically just send a contract to Click2Mail, and it's a one-off direct mail service through the Postal Service. It costs 80 cents, and they'll put the contract together. It has your signature on it. It takes about – oh, he was clicking through a couple the other day. The VA was tied up, and so it was end of business day. I'm in there chatting with Rob in his office, and he's sending off contracts. And it took him about 30 seconds or so for each one. Click in, prepare the document, and then send it to email to mail. And so he was just firing out contracts to people.
30 seconds. Yeah, 30 seconds and 80 cents, and you could potentially have a deal. You know,
I mean, somebody gives you a verbal no, but that's the whole thing. See what they say when signed contracts in front of them that shows up.
Well, and I was listening to a podcast last night from a different source, and it was one of the kind of fundamentals deals. But yeah, this guy, he sends an offer to every single lead that comes in. Is basically what he said. It's like,
that,
you know,
like
they
Joe
said,
McCall.
You send him a, you know, any kind of lead, he's sending an offer, you know. So, I don't know. Second question is, whenever you're getting your VA, when you've said, okay, I like this guy or girl, and I'm going to give them access to FreedomSoft, when they're going through your vacant house leads, are they pulling, like, all the data from the county, number of bedrooms, square feet, all that stuff, and loading it in immediately, or do you wait until you find out if it's even worth it, you know, or if you can even contact?
Yeah, we're not pulling all that up front. You could, but like you said, it's time that you're going to pay for that may or may not pay off. So, I mean, you can just as easily, you know, not have them do it, get on the phone, somebody's motivated, and you say, oh, great, tell me a little bit about the house. How many beds, how many baths, how many square feet, and just jot it down there. Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we really, just as a way to think about this business, be as efficient as possible and do as little, this is going to sound, I don't think this will sound wrong, do as little as possible up until you know you have motivation on the other end of the phone, right?
Right.
At the end of the day, that's what we're searching for. The reason we're going after vacants is because of all the lead categories, they have the highest percentage that the owner is motivated to sell it because it's vacant.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, as little work as possible up until you know there's motivation. Then as the motivation comes to the forefront, yes, they're motivated, then paperwork goes in place. Now we really jump into the due diligence. So we try and do as little as possible from a time standpoint up until phone call and contract.
Gotcha.
Yep.
And then I was going to ask, and because I haven't even, you know, I'm still on step three and even working, you know, still just working my way through step two. But at what point do you replace yourself making the phone calls?
When you're competent enough to teach it.
Okay.
That's really it. You know, that's some of the conversation. You know, some of you are going to end up being really, really good on the phone. Some of you are, you know, you maybe get okay at it where you get it, or some of you will enjoy it. I should also say that. Some of you won't, because people have different skill sets and we like to do different things. But you at least, if you don't want to be doing that part, you at least have to be competent enough to train somebody well at that part.
Well, I just see that part being like the most time-consuming part of the whole thing, you know.
Tons
of phone numbers trying to get to the right person.
Right, and it can also be obviously one of the most productive if you're, you know, if you're decent on the phone and you get the seller on, because that's where it goes.
Right.
You know, so
yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
If you pass that on too early, you can be what I call burning your leads if you hand it off to a VA that
could be.
Doesn't quite get it or doing it the way you want to do it. So
right. Right.
Yeah, that's a position that when you go to hand it over to somebody, right, just what John said, I mean, you've got to be careful about that. You want recordings coming back. You want them to record your calls so you can view them. You maybe want to be able to, you know, listen in live time. Some phone services allow that. We're actually going to – I believe we have plans to build that into FreedomSoft where you can have somebody else on the phone – and you can chime in as a account owner and listen in. And maybe even, I think where I was saying, you could even coach them, like where you could talk and they could hear you, but the seller couldn't hear you, which would be totally slick. So that exists for sales teams. And that way you can do some real legitimate chime in, listen, live time coach and get that person efficient on the phone because, you know, obviously just like what John said is you're putting time, energy, and effort and money into generating good leads. You can't have somebody on there that's just blowing through them. So.
Totally. Yeah. And I'm noticing at this point now is, you know, I'm spending good time basically developing like instructions that I'm saving that are going to be, you know, sent out, general instruction that I'm going to be sending out to any VA that I'm, you know, trying to teach how to do this stuff, you know.
Yep.
So I like that, working on your business, fact point, not in your business. One other question regarding phone numbers. I got a phone number from FreedomSoft. Is that a number I can use to make outbound calls?
Yeah, so every primary contact phone number in the app, whether it's a lead, property, buyer, contact, whatever, if it's underlined, it's a link. And so if you click a little window will pop up.
I registered an inbound phone number in my market. But I'm renting that number from FreedomSoft.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can send a text message from it. You can call from it.
How do you call from it?
That's what I was saying. Just click on the lead at the top of the page. If it's underlined, it's a link. So click on the phone number you want to call. The dialer window will pop up. If you only have one number, that's the only one that will show up, and you click the green call button.
Oh, okay. All right. Haven't tried that then.
Put list yourself in there as a buyer or a lead. Put your cell number in there, and then try
it. Test it out.
Yep.
Okay. Very cool.
Hey, Mike. This is Mike. Yeah. I had a question on the co-op leads. Where do those come from, and where are those supposed to show up at?
Yeah, Rob generated leads, and
yeah,
you'll be in his FreedomSoft account. He's doing a little organization currently, and then those will be ready to go. And Mike, I'll just shoot you an email. It says here's your, you'll actually get an invite to his FreedomSoft account.
Oh, okay.
Yep, there's a little bit of organization happening. I believe this week things will be tuned up. I was talking to him on Friday.
Okay, cool. So those are in different markets. It won't be in our market, right? It'll be other
San Antonio.
Places.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Most
cool.
Likely San Antonio. He's in a few places, but most likely San Antonio. That's right. You actually, when you're calling the leads there, Mike, you have to put a cowboy hat on. You know,
I'll have to find one.
Well, you know, they say people can read body language even through the phone. So if you don't match down there, you don't have a shot.
Hey, I got my cowboy hat from
I'll practice.
Home, so.
You gotta have spurs on too.
Yeah, it's actually even better if you call leads walking around and they can hear those spurs click like in the Western movies. So
yeah, athlete chaps.
That's right.
Hey Mike, I got a question
yep.
about when you enter a lead in FreedomSoft, an address.
Yep.
Have you guys thought about tying it into the county records where it pulls all the information automatically like RealFlow does?
That's what I was wondering.
We met a guy. Yeah, we have. We met a guy that owns a big data company October last year, and he and Rob were having some conversations about it. He owns one of the big data real estate data aggregators. But
Freedom
yeah, that would staff. Be that would be totally cool, where you just put it in and it pulls pulls from the public record and tells you about it.
RealFlow does that, man. It's pretty nice. But
yeah, it's a slick.
I don't need to talk about competitor systems on here, but.
Yeah, way to say their name twice. Nice.
Just go buy them. I think I'm in a good spot with all this stuff as I'm going forward.
Yeah, good. Yeah, so you have 120 vacants. How many do you have skip traced back?
I mean, as of earlier today, I had three. You know, I was just. I'm still on the first 20, you know, sending them to the VA. I think, he told me, he texted me while we were on the phone that they're done. So I just have to,
okay.
But I'm
so you should have a bunch coming back. And then have your,
I need to open it up, FreedomSoft up to him so he can go there and then just enter stuff directly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Have him put it right into the record and save it. And then, you're at 114, and the first goal, you're going to go way past 250, but keep that bird dog going until you're at 250. That's the That's the first number, so good stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
Who else?
Mike, I got a question. Paul again.
Hey, Paul.
Since I've been on the phone, this phone call, I get a text back from that bird dog house lady. She gave me her physical address so I could complete that contract offer. She's going.
Yep.
Looks like she's going to accept $1,500.
Yep.
I just completed that and sent it to her. But I noticed that when I sent contracts earlier today, I attach a document, purchase and sale agreement, hit email, and it does not populate the email that's in the leads email section.
It does not populate the email. What do you mean it doesn't populate it?
They hit send an email to this lead.
Yep.
And it has an email. You know, in the contact section where the
email. Oh, their email address?
I got to type.
Yeah, it doesn't pop up automatically. You have to
make it. Yeah, you
have
to copy paste it. Yep. Yeah, that's one of those little things. That, for whatever reason, the initial owners never put that in there. That saves a little step. I agree with you.
That's one question. The next one is I can't figure out how to get from a lead to like it is now. From a lead into the property column. How do you do that?
Yeah, so once when you're on the lead details page, so you're on the top option on the left,
yeah.
Over near the top on the right, there's a three-dot menu, three horizontal dots.
Okay.
Click on that, and one of the options near the bottom will be convert to property.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep.
And
Who else?
And I just emailed, six landlord.
You what? Oh, to see if they're still buying?
I just contacted about eight or nine of them at least.
Perfect. I love it. hey, Paul, here's an idea. Try this. Okay, let me put you on mute. I'll go do that. Hey, I just contacted 9 of them. That's awesome. That's what that is.
Make connection. Make connection. That's awesome.
I mean, if I don't do it now, I'll forget. That's why I do that.
Well, that's good stuff. That's a zero level of procrastination. But we're talking to a guy here that, Paul, I got to brag on you for a little bit. Paul had a car accident and lost right or left leg years ago. Which one?
Left.
At the knee? Is that accurate?
Below the knee.
Right below the knee. So how old were you?
25,
loses his left leg below the knee, car accident. I don't know if you were into triathlons before, but he said, that's not going to slow me down. So at the time of our last live event, when he came out here to Denver, well, he lives in just north of us, but he thought he was still the world record holder for one-legged dudes. I don't know if I said that politically correct, in an Ironman triathlon, which is totally killer.
You said that just as a, how I would say it.
Oh, man.
Cool.
Hey, Mike, this is Andrew, Mike. Paul that you were talking about at the last live event?
Yeah.
I don't think I got a chance to meet him. I remember you telling me something about it.
Well, I couldn't even tell when he walks around and he was wearing pants, and so I never would have guessed, quite honestly, because he doesn't have an obvious limp or anything like that. But, yeah, I get a cool seat because I get to know – many of you, better than you'll all probably ever know each other, and so we've got some cool people in this program that have done some crazy stuff. It's cool.
Thanks for the plug, Mike. I appreciate that.
Hey, that's no joke, man. I mean, life hands you that, and you say, hey, take this Ironman triathlon. But then to be a world record holder at anything is impressive. I mean, that takes mega commitment. So anyway, that's cool. Hey, who else? Back to
hey Mike, this is Gary.
Hey Gary.
So just to comment, the concept of multiple cities works because I have the closing on that deal in Jacksonville next week.
Nice. What day?
On Wednesday, the 10th.
Wednesday, the 10th. Cool. And where else are you? You're in Texas, Florida. Are you in
Texas,
the third state?
Not yet. But it's on my to-do.
Ah, I know it is. Yeah, that's cool, Gary. Good. That's awesome. So what do you so give us an update. Is this the one you're going to take down and fix up, or are you wholesaling it?
This one I'm going to buy and hold.
Okay. And tell us about it again. What are you paying for it?
$9,000.
$9,000. And then you're going to put some money into it to renovate?
Yeah, I'm going to put the head of guy on the ground, go look at it. He said he thinks he can do it for 22.
22 grand, so 31 plus some closing costs, call it 33. What does it rent for?
Yeah, it rents for $1,500 a month minimum.
Good Lord.
I think I can get a little more, but I did the numbers on
$1,500
a month.
In case anybody's tracking, when you pull off a deal like that, you yell, sham wow. So hang on, Gary. You think 1,500 times 70% net rents 1,050, call it 35 grand, divided by 1,050, 33.3 months divided by 12, 2.7 years to recover the money invested. Strong rental, anyone?
Super strong.
We were talking about
how
the home runs just show up. Yep, good choice. That's killer. That is killer. Anything else working, offered on, under contract?
I've got another offer in Jacksonville.
Yep.
This one's going to take work because the owner is they want a lot more than what it's worth. So there's going to be a lot of conversation on this one.
And who do you I know your two phone guys weren't working out great. Are you back on the phone yourself, or what's that situation?
Yeah, I'm on the phone, but also in Jacksonville, I have a realtor who specializes in investors. I found one.
Okay.
And he sends me a lot of deals. So, you know, in that market, what I found, those the investors, they, a lot of them, they'll take any deal. So a lot of the deals he sends me, I said, nope, not enough meat, move on.
And what do you,
but there's a,
are, you're generating vacants there too, right?
Yeah, in San Antonio, calling in San Antonio.
Gotcha. And how are those going?
Well, you remember the bird dogs, they're just rolling them in so fast, it's hard to keep up with Skip tracing and calling.
How many leads do you have there?
But I'm also, right now, I have 700 leads, and I've processed about 370.
Okay.
So,
and who's on the phone with those? Because you're sitting on a little gold mine there in San Antonio.
Yeah, I am, but I'm also, I got an ad to get some people to help me call.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot.
So,
cool. So closing on the 10th?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. How long to fix it up? About 45 days? Or can the GC turn it quicker than that?
He said 45 to 60.
Yeah. 40. That, man, that's a thing too, Gary. You could rent that thing and either hold it, or you could rent it and just cash out, sell it turnkey, and probably just cash a big old check. Are you going to do you have two entities? Are you going to sell it to yourself and take some money up front, or are you just going to buy it and fix it and let it be?
This one, what I'm doing is my IRA is buying it, fixing it up, and the income's going in there.
Okay, gotcha. Look at you even getting a notch, not really trickier, but more intelligenter, if that's a word.
And then,
cool.
Yeah, then I can, you know, the income tax-free, and then I'll look at what I do with it later.
Guys, there, I mean,
that'll also help.
Most of you know this, but there are some cool things you can do with real estate and retirement accounts. I talked to a guy that he set up a couple little accounts for his kids when they were little, flipped a few houses inside of them, paid for all their college, you can do cool stuff with it. So anyway, once you, it all starts with generating leads, talking to them, putting deals together. Yeah.
If it was something else, as I'm sitting here, I'm figuring now that I know how to put leads from leads to properties. I came across one. I moved over. I called the lady today. She's handling the estate of this guy. They have at least one, you know, beat up property around the same hood that I've been dealing with. And the guy wants they're going to bequeath it to a university in California.
Uh-huh.
I said, so if you're going to do that, you probably don't know what to do with it. And if they want their money, I'm more than happy to liquidate that for them. And maybe I could be your contact to take care of all the properties. And she said, oh, that would be great. And
love it.
I sent him an email. Of course, you know, it's all talk at this moment. But I did, you know, send him a pretty professional email to let him know that I could help get rid of all these things that they don't want to deal with.
Yeah. Let me solve your problem. Cool. Good stuff. Who else? Anything else, Gary?
Oh, no. I just wanted to make your discussion on multiple cities is relevant, and I just wanted to make the point that it works.
Absolutely. When are you going to start generating vacants in Jacksonville?
I think I'll probably drop a Craigslist ad next week and start doing the work there.
Yeah, bypass. If an agent down there knows about it, a boatload of other people know about it too. Not to say a deal can't be found that way, right? They can. But let that be like a secondary source. Drum up some vacants. You already know how to do it. It's easy for you. Get them skip traced and then go right to the source. That agent could start bringing you buyers. I mean, you could move. If they're really plugged in with investors and you had great deals, you could go the other way and just say, here's the price I want. Add your fee to it. Bring it to your investor buyers. Let's reverse this thing a little bit, because you know how to get them before anybody else knows about them. So typically, if an agent's in the loop, a bunch of other locals are as well. Typically, not always, but most often, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You know how to bypass that whole thing.
Yeah, but this agent is really, he's pretty astute, and
yeah,
you know, this is the second good deal he brought me. You know, he brought me that other one that the owner last minute took the other investor's deal.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So he brings.
Yeah, you should have had two. You should have had one closed a while ago.
Yep.
Yeah, that was.
But but you're right. But he's also hooked me in with the other wholesalers in the area.
And, so you've got a network through this one person. But so why? That's what I'm saying. Still, instead of just using this connection to buy, use it to buy and sell.
Yeah,
you can do both, do the same, and you know how to generate fantastic leads. So, yeah.
The other good thing about this particular source, too, Mike. The other good thing is he has done a lot of flips himself, and he has about 10 years experience in as a contractor.
Yep.
So he can manage on the ground the construction jobs there.
Right. Yeah, it's a versatile agent.
So,
for sure.
Yeah, and he's making it all. It's for a good start. He's making it get off the ground quicker.
Cool. Good stuff. How did you find this said agent?
Interesting. I found him on Redfin.
Okay.
And because Redfin, when you look at a house, they'll show some agents there, and there's one I looked and read this guy. Oh, he put in his bio he's investor friendly.
Gotcha. Nice. He even knows the terminology. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So a little outside of the loop. Obviously, not in the steps. You don't have to have an agent anywhere to buy and sell real estate. Everybody. So Gary has a couple irons in the fire, and this is how it's going to happen, though. You know, we're all going to go through the same process. We're going to get things moving. We're going to build activity. And you can't predict some of the relationships that are going to come out of this. I mean, some of you have bumped into, big fund type money. Others, Gary bumped into an agent here that gets the scene, contractors, bird dogs. You just never know. So just keep moving forward. Who else? Questions? Any updates? Anything to add?
Mike, this is Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, man. I was having Nikki make some calls for us on some stuff we had skip traced.
Yep.
Through LexisNexis, and we're having a lot of trouble getting a hold of anybody at all. So I was telling you a little bit last week, we switched over to TLO.
Yeah.
So we got some stuff skip traced with that. A little bit, and I don't know if anybody on the call has heard this or not, but I guess TLO uses a couple different search engines, whether Google or Bing. But I've been communicating with all the, not all of them, but a few skip tracers, just saying, hey, I want the best data you can get me, as far as phone numbers and a mailing address. So I've got like three different people doing some leads for me right now, just trying to crunch out some better numbers, because she was spending a lot of time on the phone. And not only was she wasn't even getting me any no's or anything, because no one was in. I mean, she wasn't getting anything. So, and we were calling all different times, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it was not productive. So we switched over to TLO, and then I just was asking every one of them how I want the best you can sell me. And I guess that they use both search engines for TLOs, what they were telling me, that that's the best data they can get. I don't know if, has anybody heard about that or anybody
TLO
know anything about that? Well, the TLO uses Google or Bing to pull their information out of, is what these guys were explaining to me. And then what they do is they'll use one or the other normally, but these guys were saying they could use both of them on top of each other and pull more accurate data. So, I mean, it was new to me. I just didn't know if anybody on the call had
experienced
that.
I don't recall a conversation on here where we were talking about where the skip tracing company's data comes from. So,
yeah, okay.
Anybody have any input on it? I've never looked it up, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting that you said your gal was using LexisNexis and you were getting some bad data, because that's, you know, we've talked about that.
It could have been the skip tracer.
I talked to the TLO representative a few days ago. By the way, if you're trying to get your own account with TLO, you cannot say that you're using the information for marketing purposes. You got to say it's for, you know, whatever, or collections, or I don't know, make something up if you want to go that route. But TLO, I believe they reach out to the credit bureaus, so they're getting information from, like, active
TLO's tried to account. TransUnion, isn't it?
It's a credit reporting agency, and they're able to provide information from active, like, new credit accounts that are being set up and that kind of content, from what I was told. Utility bills, you know, that kind of stuff.
That sounds more correct and a lot higher tech than using Google.
Yeah.
When you go on TLO's website, doesn't it say a division of TransUnion or something right at the top?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Yeah, so it seems like they have access to better data than just, because clearly everybody's credit report is not accessible through Google or Bing.
Okay.
Now, some of these places, you have to, like, if you want to set up your own account, you have to have someone come and inspect your site to find, I don't know, to make sure you're not, you know, that you're disposing of the information properly or something like that. I don't know. I didn't get too deep into that, so.
Yeah, I know it comes with, I know Rob's used it in the past. He's not currently, you know, he's using Intellius, PeopleSmart, and the paid white pages.
Yeah, you have to have a locking file cabinet and a shredder and all that other stuff. What I heard.
So you have to go spend $75 at your local office supply store. That sounds high tech.
And it costs $1,000 a month.
Is it?
Hey, man, I got two shredders at a house I sold about 8 months ago.
Two what?
Shredders.
Nice.
Shredders, and I got two dishwashers, two refrigerators, and a stove.
Yeah, we could do a whole office hours dedicated to cool stuff we pulled out of a distressed property,
no, that's
I'm
not.
Sure. Yep.
I got an old Coleman gasoline burning camping stove out of a house I didn't even close on.
Look at that. That's called
That's called stealing.
That's called theft. Yeah, it's called theft.
Unbelievable. I was hoping a guy one time was going to leave this old classic car in the garage. Imagine that. That thing disappeared. But anyway, who else? Updates, questions, anything to add? Josh, where are you guys at with – oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, Andrew? I was just about to say, this is Andrew. I'm finally in the car now, so I'm able to talk. But I'm trying to figure out how to clone myself. So what I've done is I still got the – bird dog leads coming in from one of my markets, and I've also started to target in on rental property owners and sending out the initial text message. I have my VA looking up those properties and sending out the text messages to the property owners, and then I've also started to target some of the higher-end, higher-days-on market properties from the MLS and reaching out and placing offers to those real estate agents also in hopes of getting an owner finance type deal on the back end. But what I'm quickly running into and finding is that with all of those leads coming in, I mean, I'm generating a lot of buzz and there's a lot of activity there. But the thing that I'm quickly finding out is that I'm swamped with the workload here. So trying to pare down what I can realistically do in any given day, because I'm finding out that now, whereas before I was, you know, trying to get things up and going and pretty gung-ho and moving forward, 100 feet, 100 miles an hour, now I'm finding that I'm turning out to be the bottleneck, which is a pretty uncomfortable feeling because I feel there's a lot that's being left on the table that I just don't have the bandwidth to get through fast enough.
Right.
So trying to figure that out and scale the business and, keep things going smoothly.
Yeah, that's a legitimate challenge. You know, Andrew's still working the full-time gig, corporate gig, and, you know, time's our most precious resource and commodity that, you know, we hear about it. It's a fact. So, yeah, that's a conversation or a challenge that all of you are going to go through is what can I handle now? How do we get to the next step? You know, what are the pieces that need to be in place? And Andrew, since I don't think they've figured out how to clone people. Even if so, you'd have to wait quite a few years for you to develop.
Yeah,
this is where, some key people on the team, and especially, you know, that person that's dialing, because it's such an integral part of the process.
Because I've got a person that's making the outbound phone calls, but it's just the initial contact. And then what's happening is when people say, yes, we're interested, then that's when it turns over to me. And then I go back and then I follow up with making the offer and talking to them. So that piece is in place. But really, I'm at the point now where I'm looking for someone that can be more of that type salesy person that can do what I'm doing now, which is following up, you know, on the after type initial call. And that can place the offers.
You're almost ready for almost a sales manager type position.
Well, that's what I was wondering. But, you know, that's a different conversation, because then you got to start talking about what do they make, what's the best way to compensate them, and so forth. So just try to figure out all the pieces to truly automate this.
Yep. Well, no doubt, Andrew, with the performer level upgrade that you went through, that is the main conversation out of that. So. Because Rob has hired many a salesperson over the years. So we'll get you dialed in there for sure.
Sweet.
Good problem to have, though, right?
Oh, it's an excellent problem to have. But I've got to be honest, though, Mike. I mean, it really bothers me and keeps me up at night because I try to stay up as late as I can to, you know, do things. And it just, I don't like the feeling of having all of these leads that I can't do much with.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
But I'm going to figure that out.
A problem nonetheless, right?
Yeah.
So
it's
yep.
a good problem, but
it is,
still a problem.
Still a problem, yeah, no doubt. Yep.
So,
I'll be there real soon.
Hey,
Mike,
who else? Yeah.
What about the email-to-mail thing? How do we get that, man?
Let me do this. There's a video on it. Some of you probably haven't even seen it. Rob shot a video on how it works.
Okay.
And how to set it up. Cool. So let me grab the link. He posted it on Facebook. So I just have the link saved. I'll just blast it out to everybody so you can watch the video first.
I usually catch. And he's also posted, just to speak to Andrew about pay plan for an acquisitions manager. So he's put that on Facebook in the recent past, too.
Yeah. Rob's active on Facebook, guys, if you're not following him.
Yeah.
He doesn't typically post what he's having for lunch, but you know, a couple family things, but a lot of good real estate stuff. He's pretty active on there. So if you're not following him and you're on Facebook, good guy to follow, no doubt. Anything else?
Yeah, and I'll also let you guys know how it goes with TLO. I've got that same contact. I can't remember who it was that said earlier, but one of their sales reps is setting up a in-house type I don't know what they call it, investigation, interrogation, whatever they do when they come out to your office site to get that stuff set up. So I'm in the process of going through that now, so I don't know what's in store, but once I get further along the process, I'll certainly keep you updated on that.
Yeah, it sounds good. That sounds good.
Cool. That's it for me.
Cool, Andrew. Thanks for checking in.
Yep, no problem, guys. Thanks.
Yep. Anything else? All right, everybody. As always, stay on it. This really is about, if you have skip trace leads, this is about conversations and offers. So, you know, Rob, if you were on the training last Thursday, Rob said basically your homework is, to call five people last Friday. And make five offers. So that's the thing between now and Thursday. No excuses around this. If you have skip trace leads and phone numbers, five offers by Thursday. That number is going to go up eventually. I mean, like I said, there's one KPI that stands above all others, and that's number of offers. How many offers did you make this week? If you made zero offers this week or last week, you can't expect to cash a check. At the end of the day, everything we're setting up, the market selection, the bird dogs, the vacant leads, the skip tracing, it's all in place so that we can make offers. And I know you understand that. I'm just reiterating that point. Don't get frustrated that you're not cashing a check if you're not making offers, right? So that's it. At least five offers between now and Thursday. So good stuff, everybody. Any other questions? Fired into the coaching center. A couple of you wanted some FreedomSoft. I don't know if Mark is still on, but shoot me an email, Mark. I'll help you get that set up, and I will send out the email to mail video that Rob shot to everybody here before I leave today. I'll fire it out here in a couple minutes. So good stuff, everyone. Okay. We'll talk soon. Make it happen.
Hey, Mike, I sent you an email.
Okay. Sounds good, Mark. Take care, everyone. Chat soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.